This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, welcome back to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. I think this is week 28 here, Frank. We're joined, as always, by Dr. Frank Rossi. And, Frank, the calendar's telling me it's October 12th, but it sure doesn't feel like October, right?
Boy, Carl, it feels like summer, right? I mean, when you look at the maps and listen to Art talk about the weather, you're 15 to 20 degrees above normal, right? I mean, we're finally getting a little bit of moisture. We're going to get a little bit of moisture over the weekend. We're going to get a little bit of cooling over the weekend. Art was saying everybody is going to feel fall-like over the weekend in the 40s, right? Normal temperatures are usually between, normal temperatures in upstate New York are in the mid-50s. Right. And normal temperatures are in the, low 60s to the south, and they're 15 to 20 degrees above normal. So everybody's going to feel cold. Now, I thought the interesting thing that he said, and I think it's worth us transitioning is to the next point, is he looked at the first week of September in Ithaca, and it was about the fifth coldest first week of September we've ever had since the weather record started in 1895. And then he looked at the first week in October, and it was the fifth warmest week. And, quietly, we all mumbled to ourselves, welcome to climate change. This is what we're likely to experience. That, in fact, normal conditions through most of the year, but these flip-flopping extremes, right? Just as we've experienced with moisture, that we're getting our normal moisture, but we're getting it, long periods of dry weather where you rely on your irrigation, and then rainfall that replenishes the soil until it dries out again. So the interesting thing about that, when we talked to Rich Buckley, is that's ideal for particular diseases.
Yeah, and he mentioned gray leaf spot coming into his lab, of course, on ryegrass, and then also on tall fescue. And he mentioned that this flip-flopping of weather is perhaps what's driving that disease pressure.
That's correct. And if you look at some of Wakaru Dean's research from Penn State years ago, when gray leaf spot was first coming under research in his Penn State lab, he did work looking on the modeling of the conditions that are ideal for gray leaf spot. And these dry and then wet conditions are ideal. And of course, the heat in the system is what we were sort of waiting for all year, when we would say, there's not a lot of stress building in that system. Now, the thing, of course, that's saving us is, ET's at a half an inch, right? It's still only 11 hours of sunlight during the day. So it still is, astrologically, the sun is lower in the sky and the days are shorter. So it's not the same stress as you get in July. But these conditions, flip-flopping conditions, are primed for a lot of foliar diseases. And I think the thing that really was shocking to me was it was only a couple of months ago when we first started to get our first reports of gray leaf spot. And then he came out and said, yeah, I never see it on tall fescue. That's only something I see to the south. And now he's seeing it on tall fescue. So that raised the alarm. And what that does, Carl, is first of all, if you have high value turf, and you've got an older stand of ryegrass where you haven't been putting in new varieties for the last 5 to 7 years, right? You better be very careful about that stand right now. You better think about having your fungicides in place for gray leaf spot. And the flip side of that, Carl, is the seeding issue, right? It's very conducive now to seeding. Warm soils, now the moisture's coming. The forecast is for warm up after the cool weekend that we have. And he's talking about into Halloween it being warm. So, you're sort of being baited to seed. And on the other hand, we're telling you the conditions are right for these problems. So what I would tell you is you probably could get away with your seeding. You better be using good varieties. If you're overseeding, you're probably going to use a higher seed rate to make sure your seed establishes. If it's real high value, I'd treat those seedlings as soon as they started coming up. Or I just say, listen, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to seed this thing on the chance it gets gray leaf spot. But I can tell you, he's saying the breeders there who are breeding the material that we rely on to be resistant are coming in and saying, oh, we're seeing breakthrough on gray leaf spot and tall fescue. Oh, we're seeing Pythium on fine fescue. Rust is hellacious, mm-hmm. right? They're just as brown patch is coming through on the bent grasses. So you look at our brown patch model, it's exploding. So, you know, while normally we'd be wrapping up and I'd be aggravating the landscapers by telling them they should get ready to mulch the leaves into their lawn and the, you know, discussion that starts. And yet we're still dealing with July and August type conditions, Carl. So it's really good that our subscribers to the Early Bird podcast get to hear it here before everybody else about what they should be thinking about moving forward. But expect a cool up and then return to heat. And if you have high value turf, I think you still have to be a little reliant on your fungicides to get you through the rest of the year.
That's absolutely right. And we'll be back next week, as always, with updates. Continue to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you haven't, click the follow button on those two sites. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.